We're all here at Calling in the Lost tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Kiss your empty seat goodbye, because soon it shall be full. Amen. That right. We're believing God, all right? Hallelujah. I know Gary's been talking a lot about reasoning, but using our own reasoning. Amen. He wasn't talking about reasoning with the Lord. That's a little bit different, isn't it? Amen. When we take the Word of God and we say, hey, this is the right thing. But when human reasoning gets involved, sometimes things get a little off. Amen. Remember, they reasoned with themselves. Hey, we didn't bring any bread. The Lord said, I'm not talking about the bread of man. I'm talking about the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees that could deceive you and destroy you. Amen. But tonight I want to talk something a little bit different. I just mentioned that. So we do want to watch our reasoning and what we see. Amen. Not be moved by those things and by our feeling. Because that's what happens, I think, a lot of times is when people become, we're being faithful, you know, and we're going to continue. Amen. We're not going to stop. We don't have any quitting sense. But at the same time, the Bible says we don't become weary in well-doing. And sometimes the enemy works on us to become weary. Amen. He is Diablo, and he wants to keep coming, drip by drip, little by little. He wants to penetrate, and he wants to try to stop you from being faithful and continuing on with the Father. But when we are, we know that we have those things that we ask of him. Amen. This is calling in the lost, and we are calling things in. We're decreeing and declaring and giving God our authority so that he can accomplish that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and that we are in total revival. Amen. That those things can come to its fullness. I believe we already have. I mean, Jesus is Lord, right? He's Lord over you, isn't he? Amen. We're declaring him Lord over a whole city. Now, city revival, so that's a little different than just for your own personal needs. Amen. That's where we're going after. We're looking for the entire city to be covered with the glory and the power of God to such a degree that men and women are crying out, how may I be saved? Amen. They're drawn by the very presence of God and the glory of God. And many times, like, you know, in the past revivals, there were times when revivals come into town and nearly, maybe not every single person, but almost everybody went to the revival meeting. You know, when Finney had some of his meetings, he had like 80% that continued to walk with God. That's an astounding percentage. I mean, I'm not trying to be dismal, but I looked up some, you know, when you have like Billy Graham's crusades, they're looking at like 6%. And 3% who are really faithful in the church. So there was a difference. But he sent people in prayer and that were supporting him and undergirding the prayer, which brought the glory and presence of God to such a degree that men were into conviction. And I think we've lost that word somewhat in this day. Conviction. Amen? How many of you believe in God that God still knows how to bring conviction to men's hearts where they know that they have the need of a Savior. Amen. That's part of what we're doing here. We're giving God authority with our lips, with our words. You know, a lot of you have been here, of course. But I think we need to keep reminding ourselves why we're here. We're not just here to say words. We're here to exercise authority in the name of the Lord. In a way, I mean, it really, it's a form of prayer, you know, whether we say, you know, let's go to Mark 11 for a minute, read that scripture. Mark wrote it down in this particular place, Mark 11. And Jesus actually said it. These are the words of Jesus. Not the words of just a regular man, but the man of God. Jesus, the God-man, the one that came from the Father. And lived the life perfectly. Amen. And Jesus answering, he says to them, they'd just gone and he had cursed the fig tree. And they're shocked that the fig tree had withered from the roots. They realized, hey, it must have withered from the roots. There's nothing left. This tree has withered. It's died. It's gone. Jesus answering, he says to them, have faith in God, or the God kind of faith, have the same kind of faith that I have in God. I have faith in God, or we have God's faith. Hallelujah, amen. The same kind of faith that he had, that Jesus had, we have. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, because of that, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So whether you say it or pray it, you can have it. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that prayer is also to be spoken? It's talking to God in its very simplest form. We're exchanging truth with God. We're taking our weakness, we're receiving his strength, and we're saying, God, we believe what you said, what your word has declared. We are going to say it and come into agreement with our Father so that you can have these things, Father, because we're the ones here on the earth. You've given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. He has no authority over us. You know, many of us gain authority or we get individual victory, but we can also have victory for others, amen? That's where we're pressing beyond where we just are to where that glory fills not just our house, not just our temple, but it actually comes and fills the earth. Because God said the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how is he going to fill it? It's going to be through you and me. Amen. And the people that are born again, the people that are saved. And, you know, his presence comes. You know, I remember one time in my life, not a lot of times, but one time I was working at a 7-Eleven store, and it was right next to the Red Dog Saloon on 10th Street, right next to the 7-Eleven. But it's kind of like a men's bar, and they have, you know, women that dance and so forth. And this particular lady, she's older. And she really wasn't involved in that, you know, in the bar per se, but still kind of in that lifestyle. And she's probably in her 40s and had lost a lot of her teeth and so forth. But she came in and the Lord spoke to me. I was working on a Sunday night, and it was kind of slow. And the Lord said, I want you to pray for her peace. I said, okay. And she comes in, she slams this candy bar down on the counter, and, you know, something's wrong. What's wrong? Oh, my son, he's in jail again. You know, it's a sad, but, you know, he's 13, you know, not very old, and he got put in jail. And so it is kind of concerning. And I said, well, can I pray for you? She says, oh, would you? I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And I prayed, and I said, Father, I thank you for your peace. And just like you cracked an egg and poured it up, opened it up and poured, like it came down running over, it just filled, swept the place. And she said to me, which would shock me, she says, I haven't felt that since I was in my grandfather's church. And sometimes we don't know the experience that people have had. And God knew that his presence is what's going to draw her. It's not so much our great speaking. It's not all of our great wisdom. It's not all of our great teaching, which those things are very important. We have to have proper doctrine. We want to have a revival with truth and not craziness and nonsense. Amen. You know, I'm really not interested in playing a game. We want to see the real, true power of God. And when you see somebody that may be false or fake things, it's very grieving to me because I know that God is real. And we've seen miracles. And we've seen the true power of God that really sets somebody free. And so I believe it's a lot of that, you know, where the presence of God's going to come. And part of that's the worship, I believe, that we're entering into now, more corporately, you know, and God wants to bring us into a greater unity in that. And to see that, you know, as we individually worship, we come to church worshiped up, and we worship some more. Amen. Hallelujah. Like Dave used to say, you know, when I first came here, I thought, well, surely, you know, I came for an all-day prayer, and I thought, well, I got here like 5:30. I think it was already, I didn't know it was already going on, but there's some people here, and they're laid out, you know, around the sanctuary, and I thought, what in the world's going on? They're sleeping. Some of them look like they're sleeping. Some of them might be praying a little bit. I said, well, I was so excited, you know, to come to prayer and put my time in with the Lord, you know, and so I just sat back here in the back, and I thought, well, I guess they'll start sometime, you know, so I'll just pray for a while. And I prayed maybe 45 minutes, and the Lord began to speak to me. I was like, wow, you know. And he says, I'm not interested in your time. In the time that I was giving him, he said, I'm interested in your life. I said, oh. In other words, his point was, he wasn't interested in me just giving him a certain amount of time. He said, I want your whole life. I want all of your time. Everything about you. And we know that our prayer is what changes us. And God doesn't just fellowship with our prayer time, but he fellowships with us in our life. Amen? In everything that we do, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving glory to him. Whatever we do, we're to bring glory to God. Amen? With the right heart, with the right attitude. And that's the whole purpose of us praying, that our hearts are one with him. And we're not concerned just about our own selves, but we're looking at our neighbor. And we're looking at those around us. And we're not just seeing our own need. The Bible says, don't, you know, in Philippians, Jesus says, you know, we don't just look to our own need, but also the needs of others. You know, not just to our own things. You know, and so that's part of what calling in a lost is. We're looking at the need of a whole city. Amen. The city needs Jesus. Amen. Just like every city needs Jesus. And if you're in some other city, your city needs Jesus. And you can begin to decree and declare over your city that Jesus is Lord, that it's filled with the glory of God, that the revival that God wants, the kind of revival that we're talking about, is not one that we have on, you know, start Sunday night and we end Wednesday night, you know, or Friday night. We're not talking about the revival that lasts 2 or 3 months, are we? We're talking about a revival that will come. The presence of God so thick that we can continue to carry on because the love of God is within us. We're able to get along with each other. We're able to do the work of God as a team and as a body, that God can keep revival rolling until Jesus returns, until he splits the sky and he comes back and we're all changed in a moment of time. Amen. You still believe in the rapture? Some people don't, but I do. So hallelujah. You said, well, I don't know when it's coming. Well, neither do I. Jesus said he didn't know either. So don't ask him. Don't worry about it. He said, occupy till I come. Amen. Hallelujah. We're to be faithful. We're to occupy. We're to continue to say, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not my will, but your will, Father. And so here we see Jesus saying, when you stand praying, the 25th verse says, forgive. And that's part of our confessions. We prepare our heart. Lord, we forgive those. Forgive us, Lord. We forgive those that have wronged us. Very important, he said, if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. We forgive that he may forgive us. And Jesus is pretty serious about forgiveness. If we're not willing to forgive and hold people blameless, you know, it's not that he wouldn't, but he set a law in motion. He said, I can't forgive you. I can't forgive you. He said, this is exactly what he's saying. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespass. And he goes on, he gives the parable, you know, where there's the rich man that's forgiven a whole bunch of money, millions, you know. The poor guy, and he gets upset because somebody borrowed, you know, $20 or $50 from him, and he wants to throw him in prison. And he says, oh, you know, what's going to happen to him? He said, you can't forgive that man after you've been forgiven so much. We've been forgiven for everything, all the sin that we ever committed. Jesus forgave us. Well, I didn't do much. Well, if it was one sin, it was enough to send you to hell. Amen? It's not about being 99% good. You know, I was witness to one guy one time. I remember we were at the Hardee's and Sharon, and I just started talking to him. And I says, well, are you born again? Do you know Jesus? Are you sure? You say, well, I said, I'm pretty sure I'm born again. I got baptized. I said, well, that's good. The baptism's great. You know, I said, that's not going to save you. It's only the blood of Jesus. It's only by him that you get born again. You have to be, Jesus says, you must be born again or born from above. Be made new from the inside out. And I was talking to him a little, well, I'm 99% sure I'm saved. I said, that's not going to make it. You're not surely going to heaven, are you? If you're only 99% sure, then there's still that doubt, you know. I said, would you like to pray and be sure and receive Jesus into your life? He says, yes, I would. And we knelt down in front of the Hardee's cash register, maybe about, you know, 5 or 10 feet from it. And he prayed, received Jesus. And he's getting ready to pray. And of course, you know, his friends came in to distract him. Come on, we got to get going. He said, wait a minute, I'm getting saved. Hallelujah, amen. And he kneeled down and gave his heart to Jesus. Because people need a know-so experience with God, amen. You know, and I said, now you can remember, this spot right here is where you gave your heart to God. You are serious. See, it's not about, and I'm just going to say that, because it's not about all the emotion or what you feel when we get saved, amen. See, Bible says repentance is a decision. We make a decision. You know, when you hear about people say, well, how many decisions were there for Christ? You know, well, there might have been several people that come. And sometimes people come to the altar and they're very sorry for their sin. But man's sorrow isn't what saves us, is it? No, it's godly sorrow. He brings that and we say, okay, yes, Lord, you're right. I turn. I make the about face. It's a military term. I'm going to turn around and go the other direction. Lord, I'm not going that way any longer. I'm not going to serve myself. I'm not going to serve the flesh. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I make that decision that I'm going to turn and I'm going to bring fruits worthy of repentance. Hallelujah. My life is going to change because I'm deciding to follow you, Jesus. It has really nothing to do. I've seen people cry out to the Lord. One man came to the altar and he says, Jesus. He's just crying out, Jesus. And he did it again, you know, Jesus. And he cried out one more time real loud, Jesus. You know, and he got up from the altar and went and sat down. And they said, well, you know, and some of the people were trying to talk to him after, you know, he didn't get anything, you know. And he told the preacher, he says, well, you said whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he became one of the strongest men in the church. You know, and then sometimes we have people, and it's not for us to judge. There's nothing wrong with being emotional. But we want to make sure that people understand this is a decision for Jesus. It's not about having a feeling. Well, I feel like I'm saved. Well, today, some days I wake up and I don't feel saved at all. I feel just the opposite, you know. Like Alan was saying this morning, sometimes in the morning, you know, you let your mind, you know, telling you the other opposite. Well, you bring it under subjection to the truth of the Word of God. I made a decision to follow Him. I believed in my heart that God, you know, that Jesus paid that penalty. He went to the cross. He died on that cross for my place. He was buried. He was raised to life. I believed that, and I said, Jesus, be my master and Lord. That's what makes someone born again. Amen. I believe those things. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived the sinless life. He died on the cross for sin. The blood was enough. And by what He did alone, I put all of my trust in what Jesus did, and not how I could clean up my life. Not how I could get better first. Oh, I need to change. I got to change before I can come to God. No, you can't change. You must come to God that He can forgive you. And He does the changing. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, quickens us. That we're alive unto God. He comes and makes you that person that can then know God. It says, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. It's not until we receive him that we have the power to become that child of God. But once we do, we have that power resident on the inside of you. A new spirit moves in and new life comes. He said to walk in the newness of life. Now I have the freedom, the choice to walk free of sin. I can choose to follow after God. I have that freedom. Before I was bound to sin. I couldn't do what my mind wanted to do. I couldn't just clean myself up and follow God. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that would have cleaned themselves up and followed after God if they could do it. Because eventually, sin takes you to a place sometimes that just is horrible. They feel bad. They feel terrible. They can't quit drinking. They can't do this. They can't do that. Whatever it may be. You know, sin will take you places you don't really want to go. Now, if you're born again, don't go back there. The Bible says we're free. You can choose now to walk in righteousness, or you could choose to go back to another way. But we are not of those that draw back, but we're those that press in. Amen? We go forward, and we don't look back. We look to him. Hallelujah. If you fall, we got a 1 John 1:9. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. If we'll confess it. But you know, today the thing is, well, I don't need to confess that. Well, the Bible even says confess your faults one to another. You got some fault that's really terrible? Find a good partner. Find another believer that you can trust. Confess it to him. Say, would you pray for me? Keep me in your prayer. Amen. You don't have to walk alone. Find a pastor somewhere. They're not going to condemn you. They're going to try to help you overcome. Amen. If they're a good pastor, hallelujah. They're going to help you overcome. You know? Anyway, I don't know why I got off on all that, but I did. Hallelujah. We're talking about speaking the word of God, but that's where it begins. Right there at salvation. To do what? We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. It's the great confession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The most important one, the one that we give to God, that we say, Lord, here I am. I need you. You know, the best I know how, Lord, I surrender my heart to you and my life to you. I'm yours. I belong to you, Lord. I say that you are Lord. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Hallelujah. I believe that in my heart, Lord. I confess you with my mouth and I am saved. Hallelujah. If you've done that, you've been wondering if you're saved, but you did that, then you look that scripture up again. Romans 10:9-10. Look it up again. Read it to yourself. This is what the Bible says. And I choose to follow you, Jesus. I choose that you are Lord of my life. It may take you a day or two, but you'll get there. Hallelujah. Just keep believing. Keep trusting in what God said over what your emotions tell you and what the enemy tries to tell you. He comes immediately to try to steal that word, to try to tell you you're not saved. I've been saved a long time. There's some days I wake up and you don't feel saved. Anybody ever have those days? Maybe you haven't, but if you have, it's normal. Not that I doubt that I am. I know I am. Not because of how I feel, is my point, but because of what God's word has said. And if we don't base things upon God's word, they're not going to stand. He said, I settled my word forever in heaven. When we put our trust in what God has said, what Jesus told us, he said we can have what we say. Everybody says, well, they're just, well, it's true. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. You didn't say it. We didn't decide this, you know, to make a decision. You know, now the world's found out about it. They'll tell you to start making positive confessions over your life. You know, they say it works. I said, I know it works. Isn't that wonderful? I do it every day. You know, every day we should do that. Find something, you know, some scriptures of the Word of God. Some things I do every day. You know, we need to wake up. If you have a busy day, you don't have to spend hours and hours to get God to come. He's already there. He made his home in you. But if you'll at least acknowledge him, Lord, I just worship you today. You're the righteous judge. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Get ready to get up. You know the day's busy, Lord. I know you're with me right now. Thank you, Lord. I worship you, magnify you. You know, read you a few scriptures, you know. It doesn't have to take hours and hours, but if you take 30 minutes and start your day, it's a good start. Amen. Now, if you can do it more, that's wonderful. That's the best. We can spend all the time that we can with Him because we love Him so much. And we want to see change in our lives. But it's not the hours of prayer that He fellowships with. It's our whole life. So throughout the day, I know one particular person was saying every 7 times a day, I guess the psalmist said, I praise the Lord, you know, and just acknowledging God in our midst. Oh, Father, I know you're with me. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you're doing. Well, I'm a businessman. What a better witness. Amen. Oh, just a minute, guys. Lord, I thank you that you're with me. You're the righteous judge. You're worthy, Lord. I love you. Thanks for being with me today, Lord. Hallelujah. And you go on with your business. How many know, he said, acknowledge him in all our ways. He's going to direct our steps, our path. It's going to be directed by him. But we got to trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, I don't know why I got off on all that, but I did. So let's, that was my scripture today, Mark 11. I want to go over one other scripture, 2 Corinthians. Let's go there for a minute, 4:13. Well, Hebrews 10:23, if you want to know which scripture it was. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, I realize he's talking a lot in this about faith in God for salvation. But Hebrews 11:23, let us hold fast that profession. And sometimes we got to hold fast to the profession that we made at the beginning. We said, Jesus is Lord of my life. Is he Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some people say, well, he's my Savior, but, you know, well, if he's not Lord, then you're really not following him. Amen. So confess him as Lord. You are master. You are king. You're the ruler of all. If God comes in all his power, I don't care how wonderful you think you are, you're probably not going to be standing. Amen. If his glory fills the house, all of us should and probably would, and I'm sure we would. I mean, if it filled it in the Old Testament, said the glory filled the house, and they couldn't stand to minister. Hallelujah. You know, and I think all of us would have our nose in the carpet. Yes, you are Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. Yes, you're Lord. I mean, if God manifests, I'm talking about the manifested glory of God. That's what we're believing for, amen? The manifest from within, coming without. But we hold fast that confession. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, said, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Because we know that he which raised the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, Lord. He's going to present us to him. We're going to give an answer, amen, to the Lord one day. Now, some people don't believe that, but there's the great white throne judgment, which all the sinners go to. We don't go there. We don't have to. We go to the judgment seat of Christ where he makes the decision. He weighs in balance the things that we have done in this life and decides what our reward's going to be if we have anything left. Hallelujah. After it goes through the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we do things with the right heart and we have him in mind and he knows and it's not going to be a secret to you, you'll know, yes, Lord, you're right. That one wasn't right with the right motive. You know, that didn't count. That's not something you really asked me to do. I just thought it was a good idea. They may not count. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord says. Amen. On that great day. Well, it's going to be a wonderful day. It's not something that we should really fear. It's so that we could, Paul said, I can have boldness on the day of judgment. We're going to have boldness because we're going to follow him. Amen. But tonight we're speaking that word. And when we take the word of God and we speak it into this atmosphere, we're releasing the authority that God has given us. How many know that he's given us all power? Luke 10:19 says he's given us all power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I had one teacher, and he'd bring his fly swatter into class. And he'd say that scripture 10 or 12 times. And he was teaching a missionary class. It wasn't necessarily just for missionaries, but for everybody in the class. And he would hit that pulpit, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Do you understand? When you go forth, nothing will harm you. And he was quite a guy. He was actually a medical doctor, and he did a lot of missions. But anyway, it was a fun class because we don't have to fear the enemy. Amen? We don't have to fear. Not that we don't respect his, you know, that we know his devices. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. You know, we need to realize that, hey, we have an enemy, but we don't have to fear him. Amen? Nothing's by any means going to harm us. We're not going to get sick and die. Amen. The Lord's with us. He's in us. He's for us. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. Amen. The goodness of God toward us. Amen. In us and through us. Hallelujah. But anyway, we'll stop there and let's go ahead and call in the loss. If you need to leave, you're welcome to leave.